Elvis Presley, what would have been his 90th birthday. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday. And I have been looking forward to this conversation. Obviously, I look forward to it every week, but especially today. John McClain joins us now from Houston. John, a lot has changed with the Tennessee Titans since we last spoke. They got beat by the Texans and wore the Oilers uniforms, and now the GM has been fired. Rand Carthon shown the door yesterday. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, and I got to say, Chase, you're a genius. You told me as we were signing off last week that you thought Rand Carthon would be fired. I thought it was preposterous to fire a guy when he's only been there 2 years and only been in control, total control for one. And I don't see many people are too sad about it. But the thing is, it's just a very strange setup. I've never known a team who had somebody with final say over the general manager. Now, Jerry Jones has final say over the GM, but he's the GM. So it's just very strange. Just add Chad Brinker's title, give him the title of general manager, president of football operations / general manager, like Nick Caserio's executive vice president of football operations / general manager. You'll see that quite a few places, but really the GM, as you guys know, will be a glorified personnel director and with no say on final say. He's going to have influence, but as Chad Brinker, who I've never met, I heard good things about him when he was with the Packers, and I noticed Paul Kaharsky yesterday pulled out a quote he'd gotten from Matt LaFleur last year about Brinker when he was hired, and LaFleur praised the heck out of him. And but it's just strange. And I saw the quotes where Chad said, the job's not what it used to be. Well, the job should be what it used to be. You're head of the personnel department. You have final say on all personnel decisions. You work with the head coach. You generally don't force the head coach to take a player he doesn't want because he doesn't have to play him. Now, with most teams, the head coach has final say on game day of the game day roster. So if you shove somebody down his throat he doesn't want, he doesn't have to play him. Just like if there's somebody he's dying to get, you don't like him, then you may the coach is going to play him come hell or high water to prove that he was right. And that's why you have to have a good working relationship. And maybe it's all going to work out great. And I have no idea. You guys would know this. What was Brinker's role in hiring Brian Callahan? How do they get along? They're going to have to hire a GM who believes in Brian Callahan. And, of course, they cannot blow the first pick and getting a quarterback and all these so-called experts that say it's not a good quarterback draft. That could ultimately be true, but right now it's ridiculous to say that when they've not the very, very small part of the scouting process is what they do in college. It's all about what they do from here on out. So, and there's all guys that shoot up the charts. And you don't have to, you can get a good quarterback. Look where Bo Nix was drafted. Everybody said they reached on Bo Nix. Bo's turned out to be great. So they can get a quarterback. And you guys know until they get a quarterback, they're just spinning their wheels. And people say, well, bring in a bridge quarterback like Kirk Cousins. Well, you might win 7 or 8 games. And you don't have a chance the next year. So a lot of things going on, but it's clear Brinker is in charge and you can't blow your number one pick. And I thought, number one, people here, I said, why are people here getting excited about beating the Titans? They wanted to lose. The players didn't want to lose and Callahan didn't want to lose, but they had so many players out and they pulled players and they got what they needed, which was the first pick in the draft. So it was sheer genius.
John McClain is with us. You know, we've had the conversations with you on the comparisons between Amy and Bud, her father, and, you know, they obviously are different. But one thing that I feel like, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong on this, in all those years that you covered the Oilers and you had a relationship with Bud Adams, things were defined. You knew who did what. You knew what their title was, what their job was, what say they had. And the issue here, especially the last couple of years, there's been confusion with that. You know, what you just mentioned, what Chad Brinker's role was in hiring Brian Callahan. He was hired as the assistant general manager by Rand Carthon, and a year later, he's president of football operations, and Rand is vice president. And it just, there's not a lot of definition there on who does what and what their role is. Is that a difference that you see between Amy and her dad?
First of all, it tells me Brinker gets along really well with Amy, and she trusts him to put him in that role. But who knows what kind of role he had last year. And it's interesting, since John Robinson was fired, was that during the 22 season?
Yeah, yes.
And now Vrabel being the hottest coach on the market is so interesting to watch how that's evolved up there. Now, they hope they got it right. Next year, you'll get a quarterback, and it'll be like it is in Washington. The guy will turn out to be really good, and you'll win some games, and people will get really excited about it, and we won't be having these conversations. The way it was with Bud, and this is the way it is with most owners, they want to know what's going on. Big decisions they sign off on. The problem is, who do they listen to? Do they listen to people who want what's best for the organization, or do they listen to people who want what's best for them? And so often you see people making decisions that's best for them. What can I get out of this? Can I get promoted? Can I get influence? Can I make more money? And one of the reasons I like Steve Underwood when he was in the organization for 40 years, he never did anything that was what's best for him. Yep. It was always what's best for Bud in the organization, and when he was there with Amy, what's best for Amy in the organization. And he was never afraid to tell Bud what he thought, because he wanted to know. Bud might say, well, I'm not going to do it. And at least he told him. And so, but it depended on what point of his ownership. There was one point when he made Ladd Herzig, who was a 34-year-old accountant who ran the financial part. The people who run the finances usually have influence with owners because they can show them how they're making the money. Ladd was 34 years old when he backstabbed Bum Phillips to get him fired on New Year's Eve in 1980. And then Ladd was named youngest general manager in the NFL. And he took over a reign of terror, but he did a really good job at bringing in players. And they went to the playoffs 7 years in a row. And Bud stepped back, and just Ladd went to the owner's meetings. Bud didn't go. And then Bud started to flex his muscle when he fired Ladd, because Ladd had gotten out of control, named Mike Olivak the general manager. Bud started making decisions, listening to Mike to hire Buddy Ryan as defensive coordinator in 93 without even consulting Jack Pardee, the head coach. And that was the exact opposite way that you worked. It was total dysfunction during that period. Now, they were great in 93, but they had more controversy than any team I've ever seen. And then when Bud hired Floyd as general manager, Floyd hired Jeff, it gave him some normalcy. And Floyd still had to report to Steve Underwood. He had to report to Bud. But everything worked out really well. But the only thing Bud made him do that I can remember was this. I remember calling Bud one time and saying, so are you going to draft Vince Young? And he would say, well, you know, I really like the kid. He won the national championship for UT. And I said, so what you're telling me is VY is my guy. And he goes, oh, yeah, I like that. VY is my guy. So I couldn't wait to quote him on that. And people thought about that a lot. And of course, he fired people. So Bud was heavily involved. You know, he was there in the office every day. And sometimes he would make decisions and sometimes he wouldn't. And, you know, if they didn't want Vince Young, by God, he would have fired both of them and got a general manager and coach in there who wanted him.
That I know for sure. And talking to Floyd about it. We'll have more with Sean McClain coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Wednesday. Continuing our conversation with John McClain, HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work.
John, we're so glad you're with us today because of what's been going on with his franchise. Let me ask you this, John. Does Amy Adams, if she talked, would this clear a lot of things up? Because I personally, John, think it would. If she got out there, took questions, answered it honestly, I think it would clear a lot of what's going on up. What do you think?
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't put the owner out there in this situation. No owner that I know of goes out there. I was watching John Mara, and I was watching Woody Johnson's quotes. They can't tell the truth. You know, they always put out a statement talking about how well the guy did. Well, then why the hell did you fire him? The bottom line is the person's in charge of everything. In this case, Chad Brinker should be the one who's talking. He's over personnel. He's over coaching. He's over everything. So he is the face. 95% of the teams would not put their owner out there. Texans wouldn't do it. You know, they put out statements. Jerry Jones would do it, of course, because Jerry hadn't found a camera he doesn't like. But, you know, now Chad Brinker's in charge. He's the one you guys should be talking to after Brian Callahan.
What if they don't make them available? Because right now there's nothing on the schedule to let the media even talk to Chad Brinker or Brian Callahan after what's going on.
Did Chad talk yesterday?
No. Just nothing.
I thought I saw Paul Kaharsky have a bunch of quotes.
He talked to Paul. He talked to a couple of reporters just separately, but not a formal press conference or anything.
Yeah, well, they should have a form. If you're the new guy in charge, you should have a formal news conference and talk to everybody. And Brian Callahan, maybe he doesn't talk until the combine about it. And let me say something. I want to wish somebody a lot of luck. Anthony Pastrana.
Yes.
Who's been there from the get-go. And when I used to come up there and cover a lot of Titans games, I got to know Anthony. He worked his way up, vice president. He was over all the video department, acknowledged as one of the best in the NFL. I cannot understand why he would get fired because I can't imagine he had anything to do with only three victories. Usually when a guy like that gets fired, it's because somebody else has somebody they've worked with or somebody they want to put in that position. Anthony, I can't imagine, would have any problems getting a job with any companies in Nashville. And I think their openings in the NFL wish him the best of luck because he is a great guy.
Yes, he is.
Who is very, very good at his job.
Absolutely. John, let me ask you this. Chase had this question yesterday. When the Titans are going to fire a general manager, do they have to inform the NFL first before they do anything, or is there some sort of protocol, or do they have to tell the NFL nothing and just make a statement?
No, they don't have to tell anything. All that the NFL, what they do have to do is they have to go by the Rooney Rule. And I'm sure they're talking to the NFL about, because did they interview anybody? Chad got a promotion. Did he get a new title? The same time
last year he did, so no, not
okay,
not
well
this
then
year.
It doesn't matter, then they can do it the way they did it. You know, they don't need to comply with the Rooney Rule as so many other teams do, and but no, they've got their structure now, and that's the way it's going to be. Hopefully it'll be that way for 20 years and the Titans will turn it around and win. But right now that's set up with the GM, and I'm going to guess, and I don't know, I've never met Chad, but the guy that comes there as the GM will be somebody who worked with him in Green Bay or somebody he knows, because that person's going to come in there knowing, I'm the general manager, but I don't have final say on anything, and every team in the league knows that. And obviously, he wants to be a general manager. Now, maybe things don't go well. Amy fires Chad and gives the GM all the power. So it's going to take a while to know that, of course. And I never met Rand Carthon, but I don't know a lot of people there who I've talked to were surprised that he was fired. Maybe it's because they listened to Chasing Big Joe.
Right. John, did you ever write anything in Houston where Bud Adams personally called you to dispute that or was angry at you?
Bud was angry at me a lot, but it wasn't about things One time I wrote something. Bud, I got a bunch of calls that Bud had sent a letter out to people in the organization telling them times were tough and they're going to get 2% raises. And they were infuriated because the team made money. And he signed the checks in red ink. Well, he always signed things in red, but it's made a better story. And I called and got some anonymous quotes. And then I called Bud's office, and his assistant said, I'd like to ask Bud a couple of questions about a story I'm working on. And she came back and said, well, he's not available. And I said, well, just let him know I'm writing a story in the Chronicle about him telling his employees times are tough and they're not getting but a 2% raise. And he signed it in red ink. She said, hold on. He comes back on immediately. And he tells me, he says, if you write this story, you're not flying on the charter anymore. I said, but I hadn't flown on the charter since frequent flyer programs were invented in 1983. This would be like 15 years later. And then he said, well, you're not getting comp tickets anymore. I said, Bud, I've never taken comp tickets. Chronicle buys me 2 every year. And he goes, he's frustrated. He goes, well, he goes, well, I'm going to call your boss. Who in your office is my equivalent? And I said, thank God, nobody. And I said, but Dick Johnson's the publisher. This guy's the sports editor. Feel free to call him. And Dick Johnson called the managing editor later and said, what's McLean got Bud all riled up about? And I told the managing editor, and he told him, he said, okay, good, keep it up. That's when they were losing it and going through bad times.
Oh, yes. See, and even if Amy was that way now, like, that'd be better than what we got. She just doesn't talk at all. But, oh, man,
well,
that's
most
fantastic.
Owners don't. Just keep that in mind. Most owners don't, because you don't want them to have to stand up there with their fingers crossed talking about how good somebody was that they just fired, how they love working with them, who they just fired, keeping their fingers and toes crossed.
Like Kraft said about mayo?
Yeah, exactly.
John,
We see a lot of this at this time of year. Most of the time, you can read into it. It's like there was a story, maybe a Schefter, Rappaport, I can't remember, that NFL teams were going to be interested in Steve Sarkisian right before Texas playing Ohio State. So I figured, okay, his agent put it out there because he needs a raise from $10 million. That's, nobody can get by on only $10 million. Or Ohio State put it out there to try to get the Longhorns distracted. You always have to think, and agents do the most at this time of year, that where something comes from and who benefits from it the most. Always keep that in mind.
Yep, that is 100% true. John, we appreciate it as always. We'll see how this thing shakes out over the course of the next week and talk to you next week.
Well, thank you guys very much. It's going to be fun with the Titans having that first pick.
Yes.
Thank you.
See you, John. John McLean joining us here on the program as he does every Wednesday at 9:30. We're wide open the rest of the way. Your reaction, to what John had to say. You know, he does make a good point about owners and talking, but I think the problem that we all have is there's just the only message we hear right now is from the head coach, and that's the issue.
Yeah,
that's the issue.
I'm with you. You're right.
We'll discuss that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.